pick. He's out. Cotton ball. That's straight drive. The ball stopping on him just a little bit. And that is the wicket the Australians were looking for.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yes, Casper.
That was Tendulkar. That was Tendulkar, I think.
Tendulkar, 38 test matches for Australia, 43 ODIs, couple of T20s, and the most first-class dismissal in the history of Queensland cricket. Mm. It's our great pleasure to have Michael Kasperwitz as our legend of the game. G'day, Michael.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Morning, yeah, Michael.
We're really well, mate. Thanks for giving up your time on Father's Day especially. Mm. We do appreciate that. Mate, I know you had a very strong background in rugby union as well, playing Aussie schoolboys, but how did cricket become a part of your life?
Oh, just because I was better at it. Pretty simple. I suppose you would come in. I think we actually had a game. I think we played against each other, Jim.
Oh, yeah, we did, Michael.
We did, yeah. That's the best part about being a fast bowler is you're coming in, you're bowling fast, feels good, and you can legitimately be a bully.
Did you scot him a few times, Michael? Did you get Jimmy on the back foot?
Well, the idea is, right, that we just got to, it's about getting 10 wickets. As a bowler, you're getting 10 wickets, and then all of a sudden we're off. We're sitting off there having a nice cold can of Coke or whatever it is. It's as simple as that. It doesn't matter how you get them out, but as long as you get 10 wickets, that's the way it goes, the way it works.
Yeah. How did you start playing cricket? Was there a family link? Oh,
no, none at all. I think it was just back in the, I'm going to say the good old days of going to school, at state school, and there was a cricket team, and the teacher went around, I reckon, in grade 3. So we were 8 years old.
Yeah.
He came and said, oh, we're going to start a cricket team. Who wants to play? And I think out of the class of 15 boys in the class, everyone puts their hands up and we've got a cricket team. Simple as that.
How good.
And it was just simple as that. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Michael, but as Jimmy mentioned, you were very good at rugby union. So where was the point in your sporting evolution, so to speak, when you realised that cricket was your calling?
I really think it was just a matter of having fun along the way. So you'd whatever season it was, and you'd go and play cricket. You'd run and go and play cricket. You'd love it. You'd have a crack. Same with rugby season or rugby league. Just go out there and just enjoy it. The interesting thing, I've got a son who's 12 years old. He's pretty good at a number of sports. And the way that it works today is everyone says, oh, they got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. I'm thinking, the longer you leave that decision-making process, the better, because you get so many lessons personally and in life and everything else from all these different sports, whether they're individual or team sports. Yeah, I think that's the benefit of just, I was fortunate coming through and, just having a crack.
What about, it happened very quickly for you, Michael. You're 18 years of age. You're playing first-class cricket for Queensland. What was it like to walk into that dressing room? At that point, you hadn't won a shield. That happened a couple of years later. But there were legendary figures from Australian cricket and from Queensland cricket in that dressing room. How was that for an 18-year-old?
I was 17.
17. There you go.
I was 17. I was at high school. And, so like you said, walking into a dressing room where, with Alan Border, Carl Rackman, kind of jealous. I reckon 2 years earlier, I had posters on my wall, about these guys and just loving the game. Mm. It was extraordinary, actually, the process of going through and maybe a good going into a dressing room and old school respect as well.
Yes,
it was a big component of that. And not that it was demanded, but it was certainly something you gave.
Michael, what about when you first selected for Australia? It was an emerging Australian side then in the mid-90s, wasn't it? And there was young cricketers who were going to become legends like the Glenn McGraths, etc. What was it? What was there a feeling amongst that young group that you were on the cusp of something special when you first got selected in the Australian team?
Not really, because you're still playing with some pretty influential and some world-class players like Shane Warne. I think the first, my debut was at the Gabba, which is kind of special in itself, against the West Indies. And my real memory of that, I reckon 24, was going out to bat and going out to bat. And I had Ian Bishop coming into bowl and he was coming around the wicket. There was a leg slip. There was a short.
You know what you're going to get.
Exactly. It was sort of telegraphed pretty simply, but I managed to hang around for a little bit. So that was it. I didn't get a wicket, mind you, in that. So it didn't follow the fairy tale, I suppose. And that's how you envisage any debut for your country or all those experiences. You thought, well, yeah, surely I'm going to go out there and get 5 or get score 100. but it just doesn't quite happen. But for me personally, I end up in the Australian team or getting back into the Australian team over a 10-year period. So it was 10 years I was on this fringe the whole way. I think it was 13 times I was dropped, if you like, because I found a way to find my way back in 13 times as well. So Peter Hellyer, who's on the 7PM project, he introduced me to Function once. He said, look, please welcome the guy who's had more recalls than Daihatsu, Michael Kasperich. So, yeah.
Just luckily, Daihatsu's not a sponsor of this program, so you're okay with that one.
I didn't want to step on his toes, of course. But yeah.
Michael, on that point then, I know you came into an Australian team that was dominating world cricket and did so for an extended period, but when you were... You couldn't cement your spot. Is it disheartening,
Michael?
I think he's dropped out,
Raymond. That was unfortunate.
Hopefully get him back,
There we go. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Because he was on the cusp of a dominant world test cricket side Australia had at the time with so many great bowlers. And he had to... I wonder if it was disheartening when you continually get dropped and guys get in ahead of you, but he keeps finding a way to get back, you know?
All right. I think Michael's back on the line there. You better ask that,
Raymond. Oh, Michael, you there?
Yeah,
I got you back. Yeah, I was just going to ask you, when you're dropped a number of times, is it disheartening? What's the mindset? How do you get yourself back into that team?
I think what happens is you realise, and one of the great lessons I learned through sport, offers plenty of great life lessons, was that, the ownership or possession, if you like, of your journey. And so whilst no one gets dealt the same hand, you just got to make the most of it. So every single time I was going into this Australian team was just, if this is the last time I'm here, I'm going to have the best experience. Because it's a funny thing, pressure. And one of the things that I like to think I sell to my kids is that it's funny, the best mechanism, best way to take pressure off the table is by having fun. Go out there and just enjoy it. Have fun and... Yeah, instinct takes over, as we know in sport. You have to rely on instinct. You can't think too much about it. And really, just go there and have fun, have the most fun you can, which was always my theory.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Because what you've also displayed there is resilience. And if there's one thing that I can teach my kids, I think is resilience. Is, you know, it doesn't always work out the way you think it is, but you get the opportunity. What about 97, 98 over in India, 2001, 2004? You had particular success on those tours. But from what I understand, Michael, that first tour was very tough physically. And there's a story about you basically... You didn't have a clue where you were walking around at fine leg at one point. You'd bowled so many overs. Is that right?
Well, that's because I think we went in with two fast bowlers, two spinners, and in both the first test matches in 1998 in India, Paul Rifle, the first test, Paul Wilson, the second test, everyone broke down.
Wow.
So, I refer to that particular series as actually a great, it was a fantastic experience. It was the most challenging experience too, playing on those Indian wickets because they pretty much resembled a dry creek bed, not a blade of grass or I reckon a living organism inside on those pitches, which isn't really helpful for a fast bowler, of course. but finding a way to sort of adjust your skills to suit those conditions was the key from a personal point of view. And look, I successfully, if you like, lost 8.5 kilos of body weight in about 3 weeks. So, because it's 40 odd degrees, everything is the most challenging thing ever. Given the fact I retired 12 years ago, I reckon I'm due to go back there and bowl a few more overs.
Lose a bit more weight.
Hey, absolutely.
Hey, Michael, can I take you to the 05 Ashes series? Because a lot of people are drawing parallels with the current series to what happened in 05. And there were so many famous moments in that test series when everything could have changed. And of course, a lot of people will forever be asking you about that ball from Harmison. Can you tell us once and for all, were you out?
I think DRS wasn't utilised. It was sort of experimental at that time, and they made the decision not to use it through that test series.
Could have come in handy, couldn't it, Michael? Gee.
Well, it could have, because I think as far as highlights and replays, like the right hand, it actually struck the right hand, which was off the bat at the time. And law 34.1 MP, so see laws of cricket, suggests that's actually not out. Something like that, anyway. It's kind of incredible, like that last test match. Every single player, when it becomes so close and chasing 50-odd that myself and Brett Lee came so close to doing, every single player will go to that dressing room on the losing side. The winning side doesn't give it, they couldn't care. They were actually celebrating. But on the losing side, you actually, every single player visits how that could have changed. That misfield, the no ball, the extra run, I ran that run harder. All those sort of those moments, which is kind of where I think that is the beauty of Test cricket when you break it down, is that Test cricket, even though it's 5 days and it looks long and all that sort of stuff, every single ball is a moment. And I think that's the beauty of it. And so whilst it was obviously not a great result for cricket, Australian cricket, for us to lose, it was actually a really fabulous result for cricket and the Test cricket, because people are talking about it, they've witnessed it. Great for English cricket. But really breaking it down, that how simple, how complex cricket is, but at the same time, why we love it, for those that love Test cricket. Over a long period of time, that the impact that every single ball makes.
Based on that, I'm imagining you have a great deal of empathy for Marcus Harris and Tim Payne and Nathan Lyon and everyone else that was involved in that incredible test match at Headingley.
Whole team. Absolutely, everyone. Yeah. And like I said, everyone then reflects about, how they could have changed, what they could have done. When you pull out those micro moments it's a great result, as I said, for cricket. And being on the board, being a director of Cricket Australia, I think that's great, because people are talking cricket in the middle of football season and come the finals and all that sort of stuff. So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, that 2005 series, 2-1 England, and it was one of the most compelling test series ever. This current Ashes series is shaping up the same way. Michael, can I take you back to 05 and how England somehow managed to turn that series around, get on top and win the Ashes back? What was the mindset in the Australian team after you came so close at Edgbaston? And can you see parallels with the current team? Can they turn what was obviously a heartbreaking loss and find a way to win the Ashes?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think over a test, an Ashes series especially, a 5-test series, this thing called momentum. And you really, like a footy season, you start getting a few wins and there's a belief that happens in the team. The thing in the days of sports science, which is where all sports are right now, is you can't measure belief. It's just this concept that unless you're in a team and experiencing that, no one understands it. I think, when you're sitting in a dressing room, you're looking around at each and every single person in that room, you realize, that doesn't matter how many runs we got or how we've got to take, you look around and there's a confidence in that team, that belief that we can win from anywhere. And I think that's what's happened in this Ashes series, is that both teams have sort of experienced that now, which makes it so compelling.
Yeah. Who was the batsman you didn't like bowling to? Who was the bowler you didn't like facing?
I reckon when it's 45 degrees on a flat wicket like the Pacific Highway in India, Sachin Tendulkar was, for me, the most, obviously the most challenging, because his balance was so good. He wasn't a long way forward, wasn't a long way back. He was just so, like I said, he was so awesome. We struck him in his peak. Obviously, of his career, possibly even maybe kick-started it. But I think that was, I played. And the interesting really different people, Brian Lara and Sachin Tendulkar, in their techniques. But, you know, I didn't play a lot against Brian Lara, to be honest, but one was more flashy, like Brian Lara, the way he played. His technique wasn't textbook. Back lift was up nice and high for the...
Yeah.
But, you know, you find a way. And I think that's the beauty of cricket, whether it be bowling actions and techniques or batting, the styles. It's about the individual, you know, doing the best or finding a way with what they got. Mm. That's why we love it.
And bowler?
Or anyone over 125 kilometres an hour.
125.
Fair enough.
You've included quite a few.
No. Oh, look. There's nothing else. No, you just get out there I used the bat all right when I was a young fella. and you do, but when you amplify, the skill level, and obviously playing test cricket, and you're facing Shoaib Akhtar by 150k an hour and the whacker, that's challenging.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, most definitely. Hey, Michael, we've got to fly. It's been fantastic having a chat to you. Great to walk down memory lane. An outstanding career. We love your involvement still in the game of cricket, and we're thoroughly enjoying this Ashes series, as I'm sure you are as well. Appreciate your time, especially on Father's Day, mate.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. You've just actually got me out of the kitchen because I received a waffle maker. and Father's Day, so.
And it's your duty to fire it up. I'm tipping Michael.
Well, I'm not that it's one of those plug and play one numbers, but yeah, I'm actually working on it. So thanks very much, guys. I'm going to enjoy some waffles.
Good on you, Michael. Sure. Happy Father's Day, mate.
Thanks, guys. See ya.